We're back. Hello. Hello. I'm starting off like giggling because we're giggling over here. We're busy giggling. Okay. I have someone on the podcast right now in the studio. You might recognize her. You can say something.
Hi.
Ooh, who is that?
She said you could say something.
You can say something. Go ahead. No, say something. No, I'm just kidding.
We're in the studio. We're actually filming a new album today.
Ayo.
We're recording a new album.
Yeah. And that's exactly where I'm wearing jeans and my onesies unbuttoned. That's how the freaking people do it. That's how you record those albums.
That's how we do.
That's how we do it. But Catherine's here. Catherine Ebs. Did I say her last name right?
It's Ebs. Yeah, Catherine Ebs. Oh, no. You're fine. No, you're okay.
I've heard both ways and I should have just re-asked you.
You're fine.
I always second guess myself.
On Instagram thinks it's Catherine Ebs because it's three E's. So people just go Ebs. But yeah.
I knew it was, but oh yeah, because that's probably because of the drawn out E. That's probably why I thought it was Nebs.
Because my middle name starts with an E. So a lot of people think, but it's just, that's why there's three.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Well, you're on the podcast and we're having fun and you're a fellow podcaster. So this is like so easy. We get to just like chat on the microphone. Yeah. It's always easy. It's always fun conversations. But when people podcast too, you're like, this is chill.
Yeah.
Like, we can have a chill conversation.
I know. I always tell people when they're guests on mine, I'm like, we're just hanging out. We're having fun. Focus on your mic and pass that. You have nothing to worry about.
Yeah. You're like hanging. I love your podcast too, Human 2 podcast. I really like listening to it. You're so well spoken too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. I really needed that for my ego. Cause I'm always like, I suck. when you listen to yourself, though, you're just like, really?
I'm like, couldn't I have said a little bit more? Or did I not want to elaborate? Yeah. Or do I not want to stutter? I stutter because sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, have too many thoughts coming in. They're coming in hot.
100%.
And I can't get it out. And I'm like trying to say what I want to say. And then I stutter. And then
you listen back and you're like, I missed something. And then you're like,
the struggle bus is real. Mm-hmm. But I was about to say you're a fellow Minnesota influencer, but you're also not from Minnesota. So I'm like, I've been fact checked. Okay.
That's fine.
But you're in Minnesota. How long have you been in Minnesota?
I think 8 years now.
Why did you move here originally?
My dad was from here. So I grew up in Florida with my mom and I just am not a beach girly. It's not for me. And my hometown that I was raised in, the boys only go to college. Some of the girls go to college, but a lot of them stay back and do like community school. It just wasn't for me. And I just, you know, like when you feel something in your soul, you're like, it's just not right. Something is not right. Mm-hmm. I was with my high school boyfriend forever and like his parents got married young. His grandparents got married young. And I remember him making a comment to me saying like, can't wait to get married, something like that. And I was just like,
ugh. You're like, oh shit.
I was like, I gotta go. Red flag.
Stop. Don't get down on any.
Back at home, that's so normal. And by 18, 19, people have kids. They're fully married. I'm like, I just knew it wasn't for me. So I wanted to go to Chicago or New York. And my dad said no. And I had already been in Minnesota. Like, obviously, I visited and I loved it.
Because he lived here while you were in Florida.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So my dad's from here, was born and raised here. So he's just always been here. And then my two little siblings, because he had children with my stepmom.
Okay.
So I had two younger brothers here. So it was like, I also was at the age of like building a bond with them and wanting to be in their life. So it just kind of made sense. And I liked Minnesota enough to live here and it's been fun.
You're like hanging out. You like it. Okay. I love that. I mean, some people always there's judgment on Minnesota when you first get here.
Minnesota's a hidden gem. And everyone that we've had visit us is always like, wait, what?
Yeah. Okay. Like, see?
It's not that bad. Yeah. But it's also somewhere I wouldn't live forever.
No, I understand that. Only because I'm from here do I understand. Like, my family's here, right? Like, this is what I'm accustomed to.
Every Minnesotan.
Like, we're very, like, I feel like people are very family knit. Like, they want to be close to their family. And I mean, most people are. But I'm just saying, like, you know what's more organic in, like, other states? I feel like to be like, yeah, your parents are like, go venture out. I feel like Minnesotan parents.
Yeah.
And this is also just, like, I'm just saying, I'm generalizing. But they're like, no, don't leave. No, you're going to stay here.
Yeah.
You're going to stay close by.
The Midwest is very Southern mentality of like close-knit families, like those two portions or parts of the region are very similar in that sense. Like family dinners, taking the kids to school, picking them up, it's very family oriented,
which I kind of love. I mean, it's really freaking cute.
Yeah.
But it's funny you said the part about how Florida, everybody was like married and like going to have babies by like 18. Mm-hmm. Everybody says that about the Midwest. Everybody says it.
Really?
Yes. Like if you're from here, I bet people are like nodding their heads while they're listening to this.
I've never experienced that.
Yeah. No, it's like very normal here, especially like in the outside of the city though. Okay. Like outside of St. Paul.
So maybe it's just small town.
Maybe.
And we just, I know the South, you know the Midwest. We just generalize it, but it's probably everywhere.
I know. Who knows? But whatever.
Who knows?
But I wanted to start this episode. Of course, we're going to literally be Chatty Cathy 1 and 2. I literally can't.
That was my nickname growing up.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was bad.
Chatty Cathy.
Yeah.
Your name's not Kathy. Don't call me Kathy. Don't call me Karen.
Don't call me Kathy.
Call me Catherine. Okay. but I wanted to start with a call, Sid, just because people have been loving these in the beginning of the episode. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm trying to give to the people. I'm giving you what you want. Okay. I'm giving you a little something, something. So here's a write-in. I believe this one came in 2 weeks ago. So if you're listening, waiting for yours, maybe this is yours. This one says, sister woes. Am I wrong for being anxious or upset with my sister for wanting to be engaged 6 months prior to my wedding date? Background, my younger sister has been very anxious about getting engaged to her long-term boyfriend for a while now. My boyfriend and I got engaged last December after dating 8 years. There was initially some hard feelings, tension between us when I got engaged, but I felt like we have now smoothed things over. Fast forward a few months later, my sister is looking at wedding venues and pressuring her boyfriend to propose. I kindly told her after she asked me what I thought of them being engaged prior to our wedding, that it might be difficult to share the spotlight, especially since our date is approaching quickly. However, I shared my sentiment that I understand that they can't wait, but she did not respond as kindly back. Did not recognize that this maybe would hurt my feelings, be seen as a sibling competition. Another note, we have already shared our engagement with my fiance's brother, and this was not fun at all. We really don't want to go through it again if possible. Would love to get your honest thoughts.
It's so hard. It's so hard. One, I don't have a sister.
I do. So I'm like.
So I don't have like the competitive mindset with a sibling in that sense. But I do have a best friend, and watching her every life event she's gone through, somebody has taken something from her every single time. And I just see how soul crushing it is of just like, can she just not have something?
I know. Like what? Can you give an example?
This is like family tea, but like she's pregnant right now, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And she hadn't even announced. Her father-in-law is not necessarily her biggest fan. Put it on his Facebook page. Like, there's just always something that happens where, like, it's just stripped from her.
It's not her moment.
Yes. And now she's pregnant and, like, having a baby. Obviously, I just said that. But someone else in the family is pregnant at the same time. And, like, they – mind you, this is now their second kid. And it's, like, going to be 2 under 2. And now they're wanting to do, like, a baby shower around the same time. And it's just like, why? You already – like, what was the point in that? So there's just always something where she's just like, I just feel for her in that sense.
Yeah, that's shitty.
But then on the flip, it's also like, you're getting me. I don't know. It's hard. I don't know.
I don't know. My gut goes to like, she's your younger sister. She probably wants to be like you. She wants to
be her.
Yeah. You know, like, and I'm kind of getting like a little soft spot for like a younger sister vibe, especially as I've matured, like you butt heads as you're young. And then you kind of like, you grow and you're like, you know what? Like, I want to bring you with me. Like I'm not bothered by you. We're not competing.
Yeah.
And I just am getting this a little bit of like a younger sister, like knowing my younger sister, like she just wants to be like you.
Yeah.
And again, younger sister, just inevitable as age is usually like there's a maturity like scale that's a little different, right? Like my sister and I are 3.5 years apart.
Are you older or younger?
I'm older.
Okay.
But she's very mature, obviously, but just like age, it's inevitable. Yeah. Like you're going to be more mature if someone's younger or older, right? I don't know. I'm thinking a little bit like she should know better to like not have it too close to like the date. But at the same time, it's 6 months out. And like the fact that she'd be engaged at your wedding, like who cares? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I think something when she had mentioned like her sister wasn't even 100% about the engagement.
Oh yeah.
Did she mention that?
I'm pretty sure that's in here somewhere. I'm trying to read back and see. She was very anxious about getting engaged.
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about that part.
So that's something like another side. And this is not even like siblings. This is even more just like that the younger sister is probably very insecure in her relationship and watching a successful wedding planning season. Like she's probably getting excited and feeling like, okay, maybe this is going to be the band-aid. Like if we do get engaged, like maybe this will fix our relationship. So it's also probably coming from a lack of an insecurity mindset too of like, maybe this will fix things.
You're probably right. Cause I didn't even think about the part where she said she was anxious about getting engaged. It's hard when somebody in your circle says like, I want to get engaged. Like I think it'll like fix everything. Like I've heard friends say that.
Yeah.
Like, and this is a while ago, granted. And I'm like, oh my Jesus.
Yeah.
Do not it put happens. A ring on it.
It happens.
If you're having issues.
And they still go through with it. And then they're like, oh my God, we're divorcing. Or they're like fighting. And you're like, oh my gosh, now I have to listen to this. I will say again, from a big sister standpoint, coming and speaking to her on like taking the sibling portion out of it and just saying like, hey, you've had a lot of anxieties. Take you as a pre-bride out of it. Like take all of that out and go sit with her and be like, what is actually going on here? Because you've had anxieties. Like speak to me. What's changed in the last few months? Has it been because my relationship is not your relationship and mine might be great and that's okay. But one day yours will be great too in the right time. You don't have to force it to make it.
You don't have to play catch up with me either. Yes. That's the problem. I think people like siblings, especially the rivalry. And she's probably like, well, my sister has been dating this guy. What it says 8 years. And like, of course they got engaged. It's like a fairy tale. Like I want to have my own fairy tale too. So she's probably just getting anxious. So like you said, have a conversation with your sister, talk about it, like level set, make sure that she feels comfortable coming to you. If she's got some anxieties, maybe she's not actually ready. She just like feels like she needs to be ready because, oh my God, my sister's doing that. I better be like next. I can't get too far behind.
And like you said, you look up to them, but you have to, when you go into that situation, you have to turn your own emotions off and just be like, even if what they say is still not what you want to hear, you just got to be like, okay. Well, cool. Well, then you're getting engaged. My wedding's still going to be so much fun. Yep. And my marriage is still going to be great. She's not going to take anything from that.
Definitely not.
If you let her take anything from you, that's on you. You just got to let it roll off your shoulders.
I know. When did you get engaged?
2021.
Okay. So, during COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Wait, cute though. That's so fun. And then how long after you got engaged did you get?
We had a 9-month engagement.
Oh, that's not okay. Well, that's almost a year though. I mean,
it wasn't long. We were very fast. Our story is interesting. I feel like I have an episode out there, but Rafael and I had known each other I had just moved to Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah. And I had met him, but I was with an ex and blah, 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 blah. And
always how the story goes.
Right. Always. Literally. Always. And then a couple years had gone past. COVID had actually just hit. Not even COVID hit yet. 2020 had just started in January. I got jury duty. I was no longer with my ex. My husband was work at the time. He was nobody. He was working at the courthouse. He saw I got jury duty.
Husband.
Yes.
Rafael.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I was like, wait a minute.
Some people are like, no, I've not been married before.
I was like, well, I don't know. You know, oh my God, I don't know.
Okay. So back in the day, like whatever, he saw that I was at the courthouse. I didn't know what he did, but he was working at the courthouse and he saw that I was there and he messaged me on Snapchat. Cause back in the day, that was like how you communicated when you don't want to give out your phone number or whatever. And so he DM'd or like swiped up on Snapchat and was like, what judge do I need to talk to? Thinking I got in trouble. And I was like, haha, I got jury duty. And then we got together and we've been together ever since. He was like, are you still with that guy? And I was like, no. And then COVID hit. And like you said, COVID hits and you're just like, you're really sleeping over all the time because there's nothing else to do. Then in Minneapolis, the George Floyd thing happened. Mm-hmm. May he rest in peace. And it was just so crazy because we were on lockdown here. And if you're not in Minneapolis, that was a crazy time. And we also lived downtown at the time.
I lived in Uptown.
Just the wildness of life. Like I don't know. So it really progressed us quickly. We got together in, again, 2020. We got engaged in 2021. We were married 9 months later. And then, we're almost on 2 years.
Being in love and hearing your story, I'm like, I'm just like, oh, so cute. And but a me pre like having someone in love, I'd be like, how has that even happened?
Yeah.
But it just happens. Like I can't explain it. Like Jordan and I, same idea, started dating. I think it was 2020. I want to say 2020 or 2021. Now I'm like getting my years confused.
You said 2020 because you guys were dating.
Cause it was COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cause 2020 during that summer. Got together. We started dating. Jordan, literally, I told you this when you walked in. 3 months into our relationship, he's like, do you want to move in? Because
there's nothing else to do.
I like was taken aback as like my logical brain of like, wait a minute, that's not normal. That's not normal flag. Yeah. But honestly, I was there every night. We were going on, we had already been on like the equivalent of like a 1 year date. You know what I'm saying?
I also feel like that saying is so cliche. When you know, you know. I get it.
I know.
Before Rafael, I was always like, shut up. You're so lame for saying that.
Me too.
But also when things just feel so right and not the right where it's like every, like the gaslighty right, you know, where it's like, he's wow, love bombing, like not that kind of right. When it's just so calm and natural and normal and you're just like, no, it just, it's so different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
6 months we were moved in. Then we had a house together, like what, maybe like a year in or so. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history.
Which mind you, I pulled up to this thing. I was like, What? I think I got the wrong address. I literally looked to make sure I got the right address.
You're kidding me.
No. I was like, there's no way this is her house. Because I'm like, we're the same age. There's no way this is your house.
Listen.
It's fine. When you go to sell, let me know.
Okay, deal.
Because I will be purchasing this house.
We've gotten blessed in so many aspects. It's beautiful. And Jordan's a badass. So that's all I have to say.
No, I love
that.
It.
No, thank you. I love it here. And honestly, we were talking about this because you're leaving Minnesota, but you were like, wait a minute. Yeah. Out here in this said city. This is like kind of nice out here. Yeah. And I'm like, I enjoy the quiet. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the quiet. I never thought that would be who I am. I never thought I'd be somebody moving out to the burbs in my mid-20s. Yeah. Never in a million years.
Preach.
But I'm like, I'm happy as a freaking clam. Give me a freaking apron. I'll be in the kitchen. I'm baking all the time.
I'm cooking naked in that kitchen every day.
I do. And I am. And Jordan's like, get away from the window. Like, what are you doing? And I'm
that kitchen's insane.
What? I don't care. He's like, you literally just don't care. And I'm like, no, I don't.
You're gonna have to clip this. You're gonna have to clip this with like you cooking in the kitchen with just an apron on.
looking back at it a little bit, like
whipping up some pancakes.
But you're leaving. You're headed out of Minnesota.
Yes.
Like, what sparked that? Because you've been here 8 years, you say.
Rafael and I, when we first started dating, neither of us are from Minnesota. I'm from Florida and he's actually also from Florida.
Oh, he is too.
Yeah,
oh
my God, really random. We met in Minnesota though. And one of my first questions to him was, is Minnesota your forever home? I don't mind the cold. I don't mind the snow. I do not like how long it is. One.
It's long.
Two, once you've done everything in Minnesota, you've done everything in Minnesota.
Yep.
I'm like, aren't you guys bored?
Me at age like 6. Yeah.
Aren't you bored? I don't know. So we travel so much and it gets expensive. Yeah. You're away from home. Like I want to be in a more robust area. So that was kind of like our original conversation. And then I lost my dad and obviously we'll get into a little bit later. I lost my dad and some families get stronger and some families fall apart and mine fell apart. And it just happened like, when that all happened, I just said to Rafael, I was like, I'm just not. It just, living in anxiety isn't fun. But when it's a controllable anxiety, you're like, I can control this. And if this is my control is leaving, I'll do it. I've been times where I've like walked into Costco and there was somebody of a similar stature with a similar haircut to somebody in my family. And I full on almost had a panic attack because I was like,
oh my God.
And it's just not a fun feeling.
You shouldn't be living in that.
No. And I've never been an anxious person. I have been blessed to not ever have really anxiety or depression or any of that stuff. And I love that. But when it's a controllable thing and when it's like, if the answer is to leave, I'll go happily. So we did.
Good for you.
We looked at like a couple different states. Obviously I do social media full time and doing that, you get taxed heavily in Minnesota. We are one of the highest tax states. So we were kind of looking at where we would save tax wise. And then Rafael's profession, we were looking at where that was would do well.
What does he do for work?
He works for the government. We don't share.
Okay, good. Then keep the boundary. But that's very good. Yes. Well, any government job is a really strong place to be.
Yes. And not only that, but he's in like the criminal side of the government. Yep. So with that comes a lot of like safety and privacy factors. Good. So we really wanted a state where he would just be very well protected and also I would.
Prioritized.
So there was So there was like a lot of different things that we looked at and Texas kept coming up. And then I went to Dallas. And I just really liked Dallas. And so I had said, like, let's go look at Dallas. The house that you get for the price out there is crazy.
I know.
I'm just like, what the heck? It's definitely going to be a learning curve because heat, too, is also like...
It's so humid. But also, I mean, it's so cold here in the winter. Like, I mean, like, what are you give and taking? You know what I mean?
I always say that. People are like, well, it's so hot. I'm like, yes, but 6 months out of the year here, sometimes you can't even go anywhere because it's snowing or ice on the roads. At least there, it's hot, but you can still drive. You're not, like, house locked.
No, yeah. So. I have family in Dallas, too. Oh, so I've been to Dallas many times. My grandpa lives there. He has a pawn shop. I'll send you the address. Yes. You can go check it out, buy a few like rocks or collectibles.
Oh my gosh. You're going to have to tell us when you're down there.
I tell this story because it's just so funny, but he literally says that sometimes he'll go to his pawn shop and he'll fall asleep. And he had people, they would like come in and buy some stuff and they'd put the cash on his belly because he's kind of a bigger man and they'd leave.
I love grandpa.
And I'm like, that's Dallas. That's like outskirt Dallas. He's outside of like the city of Dallas, but it's just like, It's just, do you know, like, what town? Family. Oh, I'd have to look on my phone. Okay. I'll tell you.
You're
after.
You're going to have to send me.
I'll send it to you. This but is, yeah, so exciting. He's just like, he's
I'm going to go down there and just FaceTime you.
Yeah, be like, hey, we're with your grandpa. I'm like, hi, Gramps. He's my family down there. They're characters. They're fun. Comedy. But you knew when to leave. Like, you were like, I think this is our time. I think I'm closing the chapter in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. How did you both, like, get on the same page at the same time? Did it have a lot to do with, like, the family stuff? Or
Again, or just feeling. And feeling. I know it's so hard because still with that feeling of peace, it's an overwhelming peace and calmness of like, no, this is right. But still with that does come anxieties.
Yeah, of course.
We are walking away from him having a very secure job. We own a home. Like, there's so many things. This is all we know. This is what we love. We're at every single Timberwolves game. Like, yeah, you know, you get so accustomed to your life and you're like, I'm walking away from all of this mm-hmm. to an unknown. And one of the biggest things that for me as a person is I don't believe in failure ever. Mm-hmm. Like, failure is not really a thing to me. When people are like, you're either going to succeed or you fail. I'm like, no, you're going to succeed or you're going to succeed. Like, yeah, you just keep going. And sometimes succession looks different than what you think it's going to look Agreed. Like. But just because it's not what you think it was going to look like doesn't mean that that's failure. And so I just always go into everything with the mindset of like, we're not going to fail. Rafael had a little bit more anxieties than I did because, again, his job was huge. He's worked for the state for 10 years and he's really worked his way up. And something that's scary for him is he's African-American and mm-hmm. just in general, just unfairness is what it is. But going to Texas is very scary for him.
Yeah.
So we started him on a job search process actually before we even knew 100%. So he was kind of like searching out the job market down there, seeing if there was anything equivalent. And then when he started seeing that there was a lot open in the industry down there, I think that kind of helped him a little bit. And then
put his mind at ease a little bit. Yeah.
Then we visited Dallas, and it's so funny because Texas gets this stigma of like racism and guns and don't touch us. And I don't know. We went down there. Everyone was so kind. It was so diverse. Yep. It was so crazy. And I think that also helped Rafael. So if you're looking to go and you have some idea of where you're wanting to go, go visit.
Go just, see it.
Yeah, go see it. And then really, like, this is something I also do is when you're faced with fears, where are they stemming from? Because again, if failure doesn't exist, where's the fear coming from? And when you dig deep and you're like, oh, okay, like I'm scared of not having a job. Go on Indeed.
Go look.
Start looking. Reaching out to people on LinkedIn. Like, hey, do you like your job? I don't know. There's so many different things that you can do to ease your anxieties.
Yeah.
Because again, the only failure to me is just letting your fears take over. That's failure. Cause you're just like, I don't know.
Living in a loop of not doing anything.
Yeah. That's and then all you're going to do is complain about like, oh, well, I hate Minnesota. Why am I still here? Well, why you're still here.
Complain and resent. Resent mm-hmm. somebody. You'll probably blame somebody if you don't blame yourself, whatever. I love that.
And
though.
I get it. It's natural. It's human. It's We're human too. Mm-hmm. And I understand it. But the more that you can get at the root of like why you're getting fear, why you're getting anxiety, why you have any question, if you face it in the face and you're like, okay, what's up?
Yeah.
And just be real with yourself. The answers start coming really quick.
You have to go out of your bubble though and out of your comfort zone and stop living in this little like loop of like exactly how your life is going to be. If you want change and you're living in a loop, you're never going to see change.
Yeah.
Like even last year, February, I literally just up and brought a big bag and I moved in air quotes to California, just to San Diego for like a month because
did you?
I had an itch to leave Minnesota.
Okay.
And it was like gnawing at me. And every day I was thinking about how am I going to leave? Like I never left. Like, oh my God, now I didn't at the time, I wasn't engaged, but I'm like, I'm getting really serious with somebody who I love more than anything, but I still have this like,
and he stayed here.
He stayed here.
And you just went for a month. What did you do? Stay in an Airbnb
and then with a friend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I was like, okay, here's where it was weird. It's like, I always wanted to do something for myself. In college, I left Minnesota, went to ASU for a year, followed a guy. Thought it was like for myself, me being like, you know, unique New York and like quirky and so fun girl. Get there. He cheated on me. What do you know? I go home after a year, but I stayed a year, tried to like weigh it out. Was Arizona at that time on the ASU campus for me? No, it was not. So I came home. But I had never left since then. Not saying that's bad, right?
Yeah.
But I went back to the U. You know, I like found a job here. And then I just kept having this like worry of like, what if I never leave? Like, what if I've always wanted to live in California. I've always loved it there. The idea of it, right?
Yeah.
And like, what if I never even just tried it? Like, just tried it. And so finally I was like, every day I was thinking about it. How am I going to go to California? What jobs are in California? I needed to just do something about it. Go there, try it out, feel it out for a second, instead of just like living in this mind loop that was like clogging my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so went for a month. I'm back. I don't want to purchase a home there. I don't really want to leave and go there. And like Jordan really doesn't love California. So I was worried that was going to be a point of contention, yeah. But I actually found that what I really loved about my life is actually here. It's like my space.
Yeah.
I love that I have space. I love cooking. I love health. I have a great job in a health company. I get to travel. My person is happy here. His hobbies are here. My hobbies are here. My hobby is the lake, not the ocean. So it's just like I found happiness in actually the opposite of what I thought I was going to find it in. I found it here.
That's also huge because I feel like culture now is social media. And when you see all the health girlies are in California, I'm sure that was probably something in your head of like the health world is out in California. Like you have to be in California to live this beautiful, healthy life.
100%.
And you get there and you're like, no, health can be anywhere. It's where you choose. But I am huge into saying that too. Like, obviously it's a privilege to just be able to pick up and walk away for a month. Like, but if you weren't to have done that, you would still be here. And like, who knows what your relationship would be like?
I mean, I would probably be resenting him and me. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. And I'm not joking. He was like, if you are going to keep talking about it, you need to act on it because he's such a doer.
Already.
No,
I love
literally
him already.
He's the best. He's the What's best thing for me. He's a Pisces.
Oh,
so he's a Pisces really? And I'm an Aries. We sit back to back. Interesting.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Like supposed to clash or supposed to be like very meshable. So
Raphael and I are supposed to clash.
Wait, what are you guys?
I'm a Libra and he's a Capricorn.
Okay. Wait, tell me about that relationship because I'm not as familiar.
Capricorn is literally no emotions, straight up just a piece of paper. I'm not kidding.
And you, is that you?
No, that's him.
Oh my
God.
Shut up.
No emotion. Very, very regimented. Very by the books. Like when I say type A, I mean type A, like word font A, straight lines and everything. I love him for it because I know I need it. But as a Libra, I'm very indecisive.
Yep.
They say that Libras are a scale and so we're very balanced. So anytime anyone ever asks me a question, I'm like, okay, well, I sit on the top of the fence and I can see both sides because that is literally me to a T. But with Raphael, I just, he's so, you know, like what's the word? Consistent, structured. He's the support system of our life because without him, I would just be like, doo-doo-doo.
You're like, what am I doing?
I might be in California for a month. I might be
wherever. I'm floating.
I'm just floating. My brain's floating. My body's floating.
I love hearing that dynamic too, mm-hmm. because, well, I guess when he met you, were you full-time social media?
Mm-mm.
No.
Okay. I was an accountant.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Good for you. So you like numbers.
Love them.
So you look at analytics probably a lot.
I like money and analytics. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I just was curious because that dynamic of like, he's very straight and narrow.
Yes.
You're like kind of like indecisive, more a little floaty. I feel like that's kind of the dynamic also of like Aries, Pisces, like Jordan's very emotional, but he doesn't show it.
Yeah.
And then Aries, I'm the Aries. I'm like very fiery. I'm like, let's go. I'm like, we're going to try this. We're going to do this. We're going to be all over the place. That's subsided. I feel like with maturity. But Jordan we got together and then I started the podcast.
Okay.
You guys got together and then you went full-time social media mm-hmm. and it's a total shift in the type of person that you are because you're oversharing in air quotes, right? Like I overshare.
I say everything.
And it's like, it's just a different dynamic. So I'm just like meeting somebody who's also had that difference in the relationship while you're together and it worked and you guys could find common ground of like, we're going to share this. We're not going to share that. I'm okay with this. I'm not okay with that is like,
mm-hmm. So you don't even have that
mind at ease.
It's just straight out the door.
Yeah.
He started. Okay.
So well, you don't share his job, but like, you know what I mean? Like
that's like a everything. I don't care.
I love that.
Sometimes he's like, that's too far. I'm like, no, it's not.
We're fine.
That video is like 15 million views. Everyone relates. I'm like, see, it was relatable. People loved it. Like,
it's always how it goes.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess we are helping people. I guess I'll be the brunt of the joke.
It's always how it goes though. But I just love hearing that because it's so relatable in the relationship. But I wanted to talk to you about like grief and it's a really heavy topic. I don't know. I think everybody can relate to a lot of things, but really I was like debating, like, do I want to talk about it? Do I want to bring it up?
Yeah.
And I had a write-in come in that really like kind of stemmed this conversation. And then obviously we were talking about having you on. And then again, I told you this right before, but like I had signs for my grandma on my birthday and I was like, you know what? I'm like, let's talk a little bit about grief. Like,
let's do
because it. It's such a hard thing that, I mean, everybody goes through. It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. Life gets fucking hard and you learn who your people are. You learn like what you can handle. You learn how you process. You learn honestly to pay more attention and to be a better person through all of it.
Yeah.
And it's inevitable and it's happening around us. And so I just want to talk about it, but you had some things happen this year, or I guess last year, mm-hmm. that gave you a big taste of what grief is. And do you want to just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I want to start with saying grief is so funny because everybody grieves.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean in the death, like take death out of it. Mm-hmm. We're grieving an ex at some point in our lifetime. We're grieving running in the streets with as 8-year-old kids with our cousin. Like one day something stops and you never have that back.
Yep.
And I remember when my dad died. So my dad was my absolute best friend. I loved him more than anything. I love him more than anything. But I wasn't raised with him. So I think that was also like a really big thing that went into my grieving process was I feel like I was also grieving somebody I was just kind of getting to know.
Yeah.
And I was like grieving for like the little girl inside of me of like, dang, you just got to like build that relationship with your dad. But anyways, everyone was like, you're so strong. You're so strong. And I'm like, the more I've had time to heal and have time to process, I think it's because again, we've all grieved along the lines of life. And we were building this toolbox to understand how to get through grief. And at the end of the day, time is all the only thing that heals anything, but also mindset is the only thing too.
Ooh.
And so like time and changing your mindset and making everything positive, no matter what you're going through, is so powerful because death can make you bitter or better. And there's so many people that let that, like the death consume them and yeah. they're very bitter. They haven't healed. They have a lot of regrets. They have a lot of just anger. And I understand it. I understand the anger. I understand all the emotions. I felt them all. But at the end of the day, he's in a hole.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing that I could say, do, act that's going to resurrect him. Like it is what it is. So I guess, I don't know. What do you want me to, talk
just
about
like,
the,
that's what I just wanted you to allude to yeah. is like, it's happening to us yeah. all around us. It's unplanned. Mm-hmm. It's what goes. But I mean, I think people when grief comes in waves too.
Yes.
And I feel like you said, I like that you said that grief can also be without death. Mm-hmm. Like I remember when I was at Arizona State, what do they call it? Forkum or whatever the saying is.
Go Forkum.
Yeah, go Forkum over there. But I remember getting the call from my friend and I was like, I was on the airplane. I just landed and I was like, mm-hmm. hello. And she's like, hey, I don't want to freak you out, but your boyfriend, at the time almost said his name, is going to come pick you up from the airport. I think you guys have some conversations that need to be had.
Oh, shit.
And yeah. I'm like, uh-oh. Oh, shit. And I go, what? What do you mean? And she's like, he's going to have to talk to you. I can't say anything more. Okay. And so I call him and I'm still on the plane and he's like bawling. And I'm like,
ew.
X name. What happened? What happened? What happened? Mind you, I had a dream that he cheated on me. So like, let me know.
The dreams be spilling all the tea.
I know. And I was like, okay. And he wouldn't say, and he's like, he just kept saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And he finally like told me that like something happened with someone. And of course it was the girl that I literally had the dream about. Of course, like it's just, insane. It's mm-hmm. insane. I had a dream that it happened. And at that moment, we had been dating for over 3.5 years. I had moved across the country for him. I had left everybody that I know for him, like yeah. moved into a house that made me really unhappy. Knew I had probably made a mistake, but like was going to tough it out because he was there and he was my person and all this stuff. To hear that you cheated on me and I was not thought of, I left for 2 days because I was homesick. 2 days to go visit my friend in Colorado. 2 days.
So he was not your person.
Nope. I was yeah. very wrong about that. But at the time he didn't yeah. know. In that moment, like I have never felt something so horrible. That yeah. was grief. That yeah. was my first big grieving of like our relationship, a love of time, mm-hmm. of energy, of like,
your
fuck
innocence,
you. Like
everything. Innocent,
everything. I mean, like yeah. literally you name it. And I sat on the side of the airport because I was like, I'm not letting him pick me up. And I just like bawled my eyes out for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And because I was grieving him and yeah. I grieved him.
For a long time.
For a long time, whether he was around or not, as we tried to quote unquote work it out. But it took me years.
Yeah.
Years to get over. But time yeah. healed because it brought perspective and mm-hmm. it brought awareness. So.
Yeah. I also feel like a lot of times people think that we're grieving that person. Mm-hmm. But what a lot of what I was going through is I was grieving myself before I lost him. Again, back to that innocence and back to that, like, when you lose somebody, and in the way I lost my dad, like, for context, we were on a family vacation. And again, my dad and I were besties. He was in all my videos. He was just my best friend. And I remember, like, literally it was just 10 minutes ago. I came upstairs. It was 7 a.m. My husband wanted me to stay in bed. And I was like, no, because I'm the girly that when my family's on vacation, I want everyone to be together at the same time. So
I love that.
I knew my dad was awake. So I was like, I'm going upstairs. Hee hee hee. Silly goofy. And my dad was talking. And I just remember I was looking in the mirror and my dad was like behind me. And I remember seeing, he was sitting on the couch and I remember seeing his head throwing like back. And I was like, oh shit, I have a type 1 diabetic brother. So I thought he was seizing. And my first natural instinct is obviously when you have a seizure, you want to protect their head. So I scoop up his head and I'm like holding my my dad's head in my left arm. And I'm like talking to him like face to face. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, I literally just remember screaming at him, like, what is happening? I kept screaming, Dad, what is happening? Like waiting for the man to answer me.
Yeah.
And then I like saw that he had a granola bar. So I'm like, maybe he's choking. I don't know. That was like my first instinct. Well,
I'd probably think the same thing. I don't know. Like you don't know what's going on.
Your body goes into freeze. And I think that's another thing. You think you know. I don't know. People prepare for the worst of the worst. You prepare for like, what would I do if this scenario happens? Or what would I do when this happens? And everybody does that. That is a real thing all the time. What would you do if an intruder breaks in? What would you do if someone walks into this restaurant and starts shooting the place up? Like everybody starts thinking of the worst of the worst and how they can protect themselves. But when that time comes, it's gone. So like, why worry about it? Why even think negative thoughts? Like, what? You know what? If I'm gone, I'm gone. Like if that person's going to walk in the restaurant and shoot me, well then so be it, I guess. That's just my brain. And I know.
Well, no, it's a good perspective to have as somebody who's gone through something like that.
You're because you're just going to sit and worry forever.
That's what I'm saying.
Forever, forever, forever. And I remember just like talking to him, like trying to get it. And my mom was on this vacation with us again. They're divorced and have been for, yes, but they were good friends. My mom couldn't even figure out how to call 911. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, your body just takes over. Yeah. And so there's so many things that come with grief. Obviously, you're missing the person. But that, obviously, that's a very niche way to lose somebody.
Yeah.
And very specific. But I just remember losing myself in that moment of, like, this innocent little girl, this daddy's little girl, you know? I just lost that. And I saw my dad in such a vulnerable state. And then the EMTs come and they cut all his clothes off. And then you watch your dad in, like, his underwear on the ground and they're, like, resuscitating. Like, there's so many things that you go through in your head of, like, holy crap, you know? Like, that just changed my whole life.
Yeah, life is not supposed to be like that. Yeah. You're like, we're not supposed to have these moments. Yes. No one talks about, like, this happening. Like, nobody talks about
this shit. I was expecting him to get to 90 and I would find him in his room one day, you know? I don't know. Like, you just have these visions. So I definitely have a lot of – and my what is it? Like, my naiveness towards the world I used to have. And I was like – but I had seen something earlier and it said pain does not discriminate. Pain, no matter how privileged you are, no matter how beautiful you are, like pain and sadness gets everybody. And I feel like there's so many people out there that really think like, no way, my parents got me. Like I've got all this money or I've got a great husband, an amazing house. Like, no, this can't be happening to me and it can happen to anybody. So I don't know. It's just grief is such a complex thing. And the way that my brain goes, it's just like, I don't know. You think of everything.
Everything flashes before your eyes too. To your comment that you just had said, one of my friend's moms always says this comment of like, he's the richest man in the world and that or all he has is his riches. It's actually the poorest man in the world.
Yeah.
Because it's like a saying.
Yeah.
And I was like, once I heard that, it just opens your eyes to like, we have to remember what's important. Mm-hmm. And it honestly, I mean, in all of this grief and loss and all these things, and like I lost my grandma, which is a totally different, you know,
they're
relationship,
all
but they're all hard, right?
Grief is not comparable.
Yeah. You can't compare it. It's just like, it's just different.
Yeah.
And perspective is like the best thing that came from that. And just like, you know, life and like little moments. And like when, you know, I look back and this is where it gets tough is like, I look back on all the times that she asked me to go get coffee and I like was too busy doing something that was probably not important.
Yeah.
And you just like, it irks you and hurts you. But at the same time, we were so unbelievably close, like besties. And I spent as much time as I could have with her.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have to like, remember to not beat yourself up about those little things and those times where you could have spent more time together. I could have done this.
You can't hold on to it.
Relationships are the same way. Like if you could have saved it, I could have done this. I could have done more. I could have showed up better. It's like, mm-hmm. you should have, could have, would have, too bad. Get rid of that.
Exactly. I have an older brother who was raised with me in the South, and he's gone opposite of like, he's mad at my mom and holding a lot of anger towards my mom for divorcing my dad because it took us from our childhood to get to know our dad. And I get it. I get where that mindset was, because in his eyes, he was robbed of getting to know his dad on that level. And now his dad's gone. So instead of like just saying and chalking it up to it is what it is, the times that I had were amazing. He's mad at my mom. And you're able to do whatever helps you heal. I don't believe that that's a good mindset, but you can't hold on to it either.
No,
because then you're negating all the positive times. And that's with everything in life. Like how many times do you get a 20 million nice comments and you get one that's like, you need lip
color. Ugly.
And you're like, oh, wait, actually, do I? You know, and you hold on to the negative.
I know exactly.
It's just who we are. It's
how humans work.
Yeah. And when obviously comments are very different from a death, but it's like that one coffee, she's not up there being like, you didn't get that coffee with me.
I know. That's so true.
You know?
That's such a good way to look at it too, I think.
Yeah. And again, lessons were learned. Yeah. So now the people that matter to you, you're going to show up for them and you're going to say, I'll come to the coffee, you know, you're going to choose what's more important. And maybe the people that you were with doing something else were more important than your grandma at that time. Now that she's gone, doesn't mean that they weren't important at that time.
Completely.
So
that's such a good way to look at it. And I feel like, you know, they're still here. Like it's crazy. I was telling you before this, like there's signs that I get like all the time. It's wild. Wait, I want to hear. Okay. Cause I love hearing about it. And then I'll tell like the most recent one, but like, what was your signs or what signs do you get from your dad?
My husband literally is like, you're scaring me. Like he'll be like, you have a superpower that it's like genuinely freaking me out.
I kind of love that though.
No, I love that you scare. It's so weird. It's been everything. I don't know. I started diving into, cause again, grief is so difficult. And I don't know. I started reading. Like after my dad died, I was like, I'm going to read books. I don't know. So I started reading like books on mindset, and then like mindset tells you to like journal. So then I started journaling, and then that really just took off for me. And then a lot of people on my TikTok were saying like, read the book Signs or something along these lines.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
You've never read the book Signs?
No.
Immediately I'm sending you the Amazon link. You have to buy it and you have to read this book.
Okay, fine. I'm not a good reader. I'm not going to lie. I'm not even a pretend.
When you get into it, it'll change your life because it's just so, it's this person that is, her name is Laura. She's the writer and she's explaining different stories. So she walks through different stories of different people and signs that they see. And then at the end, she'll start to talk to like how you can start tapping into it.
Oh, I love this so much.
It's a life-changing book. Again, I was very logical before all of this. And I was like, there's no freaking way. It's not real. Like, that's not real.
Yeah. Your accountant brain was like, yeah, for sure.
And again, you just never been through it. So you're like, yeah, right. But then when things would happen, this is actually the turning point of it. Okay. This is so weird.
No, I love this.
So my dad died in November. We ended up not being able to get his body for a couple of weeks. Cause again, we were on vacation.
Oh goodness.
So by the time we were able to bury him, it was the week of Thanksgiving. So my brother and I and my husband, we ran away to New York. We were just like silly goofy. Like we're not celebrating Thanksgiving. You don't want to go sit at a table when you just like were in the same room with all those people burying your dad 2 days before. Like
hell
I don't
know.
Yeah. I'm like, don't look at me with those sad eyes. Like I'm just going to go run away. So I'm walking the streets of New York and I see a sign for a medium and I was like, hee hee hee. But
wait, I'm going to have a medium on the podcast.
Okay.
Soon.
But wait. So in like the religious world, they say you're not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, whatever. But I was really struggling. So November to March, I was like the most depressed I've ever been. This is like, I never went back to work. I never went back to corporate. That's actually kind of how I started in social media. I was already doing social media, but I could not go back to corporate. So I started doing social media more and more and more. And then I ended up being able to pay my bills. So I was like, okay, I'm good. Anyways, so March comes along and this random man comes to me. And like the storyline is so weird. I was at my girlfriend's house. It was a snowstorm. She's a single mom. Her pastor came over to like shovel her driveway and he ended up coming in the house. We were not supposed to cross paths. I was there later because of the snowstorm and he wasn't supposed to be there, but there was a snowstorm.
Yeah.
So he came to like help her out. He comes in the house and he was like, mind you, he's a pastor. like religious pastor. He comes in and he was like, I am so sorry to do this to you, but like I'm feeling a lot right now. Can I please speak to you?
Oh my God, stop right now.
And this my whole crazy. Body takes over. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, so I'm immediately like, what the heck? He starts drawing in the air a letter and he goes, R, R, R. And I was like, and he was like, is there a male figure in your life that's very strong to you with a letter R? And I was like, yeah, I start crying because I'm like, I don't want to know if something's happening with my husband. Like, I don't want to know. My husband's name's Raphael. My body's like getting the chills.
I know. I'm like, I have chills on my arm. I'm not going to lie.
So he goes, no, 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 no. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like calming down. My whole body's like tingling. I'm shaking. I'm physically shaking. I'm like, what is happening?
Like getting like,
it was so weird. I was like warm, but cold. I don't know. And he goes, mind you, my like this is an older man too. And yeah. My girlfriend's never told him about me. Like, I don't know. And he looks at me, he goes, did you just lose your papa? And I was like, I start bawling.
Of course you did.
I'm like, yeah. And he goes, he starts talking to me. He goes, your husband was sent to you from God before your dad even passed. Like the heavens have signed off on this marriage. This is a very strong marriage. Like, have no fear that, because I was having such anxiety. Because again, when you lose someone tragically, you're worried about everybody else. It could be a car accident. It could be a heart, like you could choke. Like there's, you never know. And I was having such anxiety, my husband dying all the time. And he was like, let that go.
Stop.
And I was like, okay. He starts naming the craziest things that were very, very specific to my father and like things that nobody knew. With just me and my dad. So he starts talking more and more and more. And he goes, you were on family vacation, weren't you?
And how the F?
I know. And I was like, yes. Mind you, again, my dad had two from my mom and two from my stepmom. This is the first family vacation in history where all four of us siblings were on the same trip with my dad. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. And he goes, you were on family vacation, weren't you? And he goes, was that your first one with all of your siblings? And I was like, mm-hmm. And he goes, were you the last person to speak to your father? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, he's wanting me to tell you that he's happy it was you. He loves you more than anything.
Oh.
And he goes, that was the happiest he's ever been in his life. And leaving those walls, he felt peace.
Stop.
And I was like, okay, that's weird. The more that went on, it was so crazy. I'm like shaking.
I know. I'm like, this is insane.
My dad always said, there's a phrase from like Martin Luther King's speech that says love can only drive out hate, or hate cannot drive out hate. Love can only drive out hate.
Yeah.
Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Light can only do that. And my dad had this printed on our refrigerator in his house. And he also had that printed in his car. And he like had it over his headrest and or on like his visor. And then a picture of us four children. And it was so funny because the guy was like, here's a scripture. He was like reading a scripture. He was like, there's a scripture coming to my mind. There's a scripture coming to my mind. And he goes, you have his Bible, don't you? And I was like, no. And he was like, you have his Bible. And I was like, no, I don't. He was like, you carry it in your purse. I have his, he has like a, I can show you it. It's a, like a little prayer journal that he would carry in his back pocket everywhere he went. My dad was very religious. And he had pulled out a scripture that's actually in that. And it's actually the quote that Martin Luther King wrote his speech off of.
Freaking way. Yes.
It was so weird. It was so weird. And then we can get into like family drama, and a lot of families either really get stronger, a lot fall apart, or some fall apart, and mine shattered.
Seriously.
So it was also really struggling with that too at that time. And he was like, you're holding a lot of resentment and you're holding a lot of things going on. And he was like, you have to let them go. I have three brothers. And he goes, he had asked me, he's like, do you have all male siblings? And I said, yeah.
How the fuck?
I know. Like, it was so weird. And he goes, he keeps going like this. He was like, and I was like, okay, like swooping his hand. And
I'd be like crying, laughing, like screaming.
You're
who knows?
Just in you're the like, moment. You're just like, what the heck is going on? So he goes, a lot of people assume strength or associate strength with males. And he kept swiping his hand. He was like, your brothers have none of that. You have all of the strength. And he was like, your dad has been with you every single day since the day he's gone. And he needs to go be with your brothers. You have all of it within you to be okay. And there was more that was said. And it was just so crazy. Like he even pinpointed what he was wearing when he died.
Stop it.
It was weird.
So he's like, maybe a medium.
He is
and
a medium.
A priest.
Exactly. And that was where I was getting with that of like mediums were taught to you, like you're not supposed to search. You're not supposed to do that. And then, but like a pastor, there can't be wrong, you know? And like the organic encounter. And ever since that day, I left that home. Mind you, this is even trippier. So I get home. My husband's like anxious. My husband's anal about everything in life. And I get home. He was like, what the heck took you so long? And I'm explaining all of this to him. It took me an hour to tell him word for word everything that happened. Again, the snowstorm. Remember that?
Yes.
I didn't cook dinner. I was at her house. So my husband ordered a pizza. Later in the evening, I call my girlfriend back and I was like, please tell Raphael this all just happened. Like, you were there, you heard all of this.
Yes.
So we're talking to Raphael on the phone and the guy's still there and was like, let me talk to Raphael. Starts telling Raphael stuff. He's talking about his childhood, blah, blah, blah. Our Uber Eats pulls up.
Oh my God, I'm like freaking out. I have chills on my leg.
No, literally.
This is wild.
So our Uber Eats pulls up and they knock on the door and we get the thing. It's a female. We close the door and it get like you pop up like your delivery driver, blah, blah, blah. On my husband's phone, the name is Billy. My dad's name was Bill.
Shut the f- no. Yes. Stop.
The day my dad died, standing still in our Airbnb where he lost his life, I looked at all three of my brothers and I had said to them, if I have a daughter, her name will be Billy with an IE. I'm claiming that name. I'm claiming the name. I've told everybody, like, I don't care if anyone knows that, like, my daughter's name is going to be Billy one day. And to see a female and like to see the phone, my husband was like, there's no fucking way.
I'm going to throw up.
Ever since that day, a lot of followers had told me to read the book Signs. We're full circling this long ass story. I'm so sorry.
I love stories. Like
I started to read the book Signs and it just changed my life. Being able to tap in and like fully understand the way they communicate with you. And a lot of people want to say like, how do you associate that person? But a lot of like in this book, it says they take with them what they've loved here. So don't look for them in the ways that you want to look for them. Look for them in the ways that they want to speak to you.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's so crazy.
I'm like flipping backwards on my chair. Yeah. Like that's insanity. Yeah.
So, okay. I know you asked me signs. Okay. So now that I've been able to tap in, there was a time.
Yeah. I'd be curious if it's like,
It's all the time now. So I can literally talk to him all the time. And it's not certain stuff. Like, okay. So for example, I had said, I got in my car and I was alone one day. And this before we decided on Texas, we were about to travel to Texas. I said, Dad, if Texas is right for us, I want to see a giraffe in whatever shape or form. We're in Minnesota. You're not going to see a giraffe, you know, like whatever. So the whole days goes past and I was like, I want to make sure we're setting ourselves up for success. We're not going to get there and like hate it and leave in a day, like, you know, whatever.
I swear I saw a video about this now that I'm probably having deja vu.
So the day goes on, whatever. And again, this is a very anxious time in life because a lot of changes are happening, but nothing's solidified yet. You're just like, I don't know. You're just kind of like shooting into the wind and hoping for the best.
No clue what's going to happen. You're moving. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, I hope this is good. Yes. Who knows? Yeah.
So we get to dinner that night, my husband and I, and I had already told him like throughout the day, like that I talked to my dad, I'm looking for a sign, blah, blah, blah. A server came up who, this is a restaurant we commonly go to and he's normally our server, but that night he wasn't. So we're like finishing up dinner and he was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even see you guys in here. We're talking to him, blah, blah. Mind you, like when you're looking up at a server, you're looking up.
Yeah.
And he like looks down to grab something and there's a giraffe on his hat. I took a photo of it. I'm literally shaking. I start crying.
This is so insane. So then, I cannot even.
Then we book our Texas trip. Okay. I have this on video because my husband's like, you have to start taking these on videos. Like when you say you're going to do something. So I have on video, I said, Dad, if Texas is right, let me know when the home feels right. I want to see a teddy bear. The whole first day we see this one neighborhood. We saw multiple neighborhoods, but there was one neighborhood that we really liked. We walk into a room and it was like a model room. It was all giraffes of a little girl's room. And I was like, okay, I feel like we're getting closer. The next day we go back and we kind of like honed in on like the top five houses we wanted to look at. And I'm looking at my coffee cup. It's right before Valentine's Day. And we went to La La Land Coffee.
Oh,
and
Yeah. I've been there.
All the coffee cup holders are different. But I hold up the coffee cup holder and it's a teddy bear with a heart in it. And mind you, I have a heart tattooed on me. All of my siblings have this. My husband, everyone that was on that Colorado trip with us, we all got a heart because when they put something in his chest to like get him oxygen, there was a heart blood stain. That was the only blood that was on his gown. This is actually not a perfect heart. It's literally a photo that the tattoo artist replicated. And it's like an exact heart and all of us have it.
Stop.
So the teddy bear has a perfect heart in the middle of the teddy bear. And then above the teddy bear, it literally wrote perfect. I swear to God, I have a photo of it.
I have to move my legs. I'm like giddy.
It
like
was
I can't.
So crazy. I didn't even believe it. Anyways, we get to the neighborhood. I could talk about this all day. We get to the neighborhood. The guy that sold us this house, this is all online. If you guys want to see the whole series, we have it on, I have it on my social medias. The guy that sold us this house had the his license plate was my dad's birthday. And from the behind, he literally looked identical to my father. And then his daughter's name was to a T, my exact name.
Stop. That's not real.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No. Minus my last name. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he guided you guys through all of this shit in your new chapter of life. Like, I just like, I'm like, I'm giddy about this.
It was so unbelievably trippy. It was so crazy. And when we bought our house, like buying a home is such a big process. It's terrifying. It's anxiety. Mind you, we were only there for 2 days. We bought a house in 2 days in Texas. We were there not even 48 hours. So when we signed off on the home that we walked through, everything fell to a T perfect. We were looking at the smaller homes because the smaller homes were in our budget, but we just happened to walk past this house that had fallen from contract that morning. It was on a bigger lot. It was backed up to the woods. It was everything we wanted. It was in our budget. It was all the colors. So we're not building from the ground up.
No, hell no, not in a new city.
Right. But we're looking at new homes. So we're like, okay, we're kind of having to go with whatever the builder has, but nothing was like fitting to a T. And then we walked past this house and it was just so crazy. And now we're moving and—
Holy shit. There we go. I want to read the book now.
Yeah.
I want to read the book tonight.
And that's the thing. Like, even if you're not a reader, because again, I wasn't really either. Like, I was more like, I would pick it up and do, I don't know. Colleen Hoover was pretty big for a while. I could maybe get into those.
I read her books. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you can
stick with those, but when it's something that you can relate to your everyday life, you're like, holy crap. It was crazy.
Oh my God.
Okay, so what happened on your birthday?
I'm just like, I feel like I'm like, holy shit, I'm like processing like that entire thing.
Yeah,
my mom had somebody come up to her like not that long ago. I mean, it was like a few years ago now about her father who passed away in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And this guy was like looking at her at the bar and she was like, okay, I'm getting weirded out. And he's like, I'm so sorry to do this, but can I like talk to you? And I have someone trying to come through. And she's like, come through. And he's like from like someone has passed. And she was like, okay. And my mom is like woman of few words sometimes. And she like tells the story, but she was like, he literally said, your dad, I think it's your dad. His name is Johnny. And my mom's like, okay, that was weird. Yep. And she's like, he wants to tell you he's sorry for not being present. I don't exactly know what that means. And he said something else. I'm like trying to remember. It's something to do with the farm. And she grew up on a farm with her dad. And her dad wasn't fully present because he had some alcohol issues. My face even has the
chills.
No,
it's
just
like,
and she was just like, I can't even believe it. We're very spiritual. Like my whole family, my mom, her sisters, all the girls that they had, and of course us. And it just like hearing that happen, I'm like, I want to talk to a medium. Like I want someone to like tell me. And then fast forward, my grandma passes away. And so this is about a year ago. I want to say a little over a year ago. We're about around like a year and a half coming up on 2 years. And on my birthday, I kind of had to like separate myself for like a year or so just like to get through and heal because I live near where she used to live. So it's really tough being around here sometimes because there's a lot of memories. Like it's spicy. Think you see them. That's really weird. Yeah. You forget that they passed. So you think you can call them.
The forget is what's, you have like a re-death every time. You're like,
oh my God, shit. Like you're like, I can't call them. Okay. Forgot. Okay. Now I feel uncomfortable. Like holidays again are really, really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But on my birthday, I was feeling okay. And I was like, you know what? I'm like standing upstairs in the mirror and I'm like, Grandma, like send me a sign, like just send me a sign today. And again, I haven't read the book signs, so I didn't know what I was really going for. And I kind of like let it be like that, like kind of aloof, like just like whatever. So I go to get a breakfast with my friends. We go and get a coffee and it's just like reminds me of her anyway. I go to get a massage. Okay. My massage therapist, I like to talk when I'm getting a massage. It's more relaxing for me.
Me too. Okay. I don't like sitting there silently.
It's just like, cause they're like rubbing you and your head's like getting smushed in the thing and you're like, I'm not saying anything. It's just weird. I don't know why. I think it's weird. So I talk and out of nowhere, like we take like a convo gap. She goes, you know, I think a lot about all the things you've told me about your grandma. And I was like, what?
That's random.
And she goes, I just think about all the, like the things and that the strength that she gave you and all these things that you learned from her. And like, she's so proud of you. I know it. And I was just like, that was random as hell. And I go, you're not going to believe this, but I asked for a sign from her today. Yeah. And you just said that out of nowhere. And she goes, it just like came over me. Like, I don't even know. I just like said it.
Yeah.
So Then I go, I think, where did I go next? I think I was going to get my hair cut or and colored, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in the hair salon and I'm kind of sitting there just like kind of like mindlessly sitting. And there's a song that my grandma always used to play when we'd come over to her house. And it's Frank Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon.
I love that song.
Out of nowhere, like all the like blow dries go off, you know, you can't really hear. And it's Fly Me to the, it's this, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Grandma said, you gonna hear from me?
No, I'm not done. I'm like, are you effing, like it's, I couldn't believe it. I go and sit down in the chair. I hadn't told my hairstylist this yet. Mind you, my hairstylist saw my grandma too. Cause my grandma was like, just like a little slayer. Aww. He goes, you know, I was going to text you this, but you know, he's like doing my hair and it's kind of loud. So he's not really talking to me. And then he stops and he's like, I was going to text you this, but I just like, didn't feel like it was like the right time. And he pulls up his phone. He goes, this came up in my memories a few days ago. It was of my grandma and him at the salon after she and him got a haircut. They sent me that photo. He goes, this came up in my memories and I was going to show it to you. And I'm like,
yeah,
you're joking me.
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence. No. And I'm sure I missed a few. And she was like, okay, I got to yell.
Yeah. You've probably missed every single day.
I know. And I'm like, holy shit.
That's what that book taught me is you can ask just because when they know what you're looking for, it's they know exactly how to speak to you then. It is so crazy. It's so crazy. It's when you speak on it, you're like, I literally sound like batshit crazy. You guys listening to this, you're probably like, Catherine, be so for real.
No.
I'm so serious though. It's crazy. Or my best friend again is pregnant and before she knew what she was having, I was the one that was getting to know the gender.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to test this. I'm going to test it. I have on video. I posted all of this. I have on video. I said, Dad, if it's a girl, I want to see a bunch of pink owls everywhere just over the next few weeks until I know what it is. If it's a boy, I want to see blue butterflies. Again, kind of random things. And it's just people are like, well, how do you know what to ask for? Just literally whatever pops to mind, just say it out loud.
Yeah.
I kid you not, for weeks, I kept seeing blue butterflies flooded everywhere. But it was like one here, one there, and I kept saying a lot. I was like, no, I don't know if I believe that. I walk into this store, and it was a whole mural of only blue butterflies. There was not a single other color in there. And I was like, that's so trippy. I took every single photo of every single one I saw because I knew she wouldn't believe me. I get the test that night I get like the results and my husband and I are recording it because obviously we do everything on social media anyways, but it's fun moments to relook back at.
Yeah.
And we both, my husband, you can hear in the background, he's like, there's no fucking way. My whole body, one, I'm so excited because they wanted a boy, but two, I was like, what is happening? What is happening? In that video, I cut it out for social media, but my husband was like, you're scaring me. Like, this is scary. You can tap into this kind of stuff is so scary. But even in that book, it explains that you don't have to necessarily lose somebody to do that either. Like, I don't know, a lot of people believe in different things and I don't know. I believe in religion and spirits at the same time can both coexist. I don't know. I know a lot of people are like, well, if I believe in God, then nothing else exists. I'm like, okay, well, you do you.
Yeah, I'm not that way, but yes, right. Yes.
And this book just teaches you that like we all have guardians, we all have spirits around us and the universe, even if you believe it's not a spirit and it's the universe, whatever you believe in, if you read book, it's life changing.
I'm excited to read it.
It's now only like 11 bucks.
I'm
it's
nervous.
Worth it.
Like, what have I been missing? Me all the time. I know I'm going to be like, oh my God, Catherine, this just happened. Like, holy
Or even just
shit.
Start now. Like, you can just say, I want to see this and just do random things. So when it is something you see, you're like, it's not a coincidence. There's no way.
No, you're totally right. Like, do something a little bit out there where you're like, you can't make this shit.
My little brother was struggling for a long time. The one I'm so close with him. And he was like, I'm really struggling. And finally, the more I was seeing and relaying to him, he was like, okay, I have to. The blue butterflies he was in on.
Okay.
And when the gender came out, I was like, I told you Dad was showing me one. He didn't know what I was seeing, but he knew it was one or the other. And I told him all this and he was driving in his car one day. And I think he finally let that barrier down of like, okay, this is real. And he was like, Dad, I just miss you. I hope everything's okay. Like, how are you doing? Can you just tell me how it is up there?
Yeah.
Those were his words. Can you tell me how it is up there? He pulls into the parking lot that he was getting into and he parks the car and he's like getting all his stuff together and he looks up. And it's just like this brick wall with a mural of a dove and the dove says peace over it. And just stuff like that. Like you just can't make up. I don't know. And he just asked as he's pulling into the parking lot, like, what is it like up there? peace.
Moments like can be beautiful mm-hmm. after you're, when you're healing, I should yeah. say when you're healing, because we're always healing, yeah, but always. It's like moments like that make it doable. It yeah. make, it reminds you like, I'm okay. I'm good. Like they're good. I'm good. Like, yeah. I mean, it doesn't make it easy. That's for sure. Grief is like a long process.
That's when you just said that, like, it could be, it can be beautiful. Something that my therapist has really been working through with me is, two truths can always coexist. Just because you're grieving does not mean you have to be depressed and sad for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You can be sad and you can really miss them, but you can also be like, damn, that was so beautiful that he was able to come and communicate with me. Or even if you don't like 100% believe in it, you're like, you know what, at that time in that moment, at least my yes, I'm still sad, but I'm still at least a little more peaceful and whatever.
Yeah. Wow. But, oh my God. I can't, I'm like, I'm still kind of shook by all the things we just like talked yeah, about and like all the pieces. I wanted to get to like the family dynamic and how that changes too. But I'm like, are we like okay on time? I'm looking at time right now.
What it's
do
up we to got? You.
108.
Up to you.
I'm like, or do we do another one? I'm like, frick. I'm trying to debate like live right now. Well, just.
Do you want to cut? I mean, you can always cut them into two. Like just like keep them and then do like part two coming.
I know
week.
I'm debating.
Sometimes I do that if they go. Yeah. Because it's just like, instead of doing like a whole intro and then an outro or another recording, I'm just like,
I know, go right back into it. I know. Well, let me see. I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, maybe we wait just because yeah. I'm like, I want to be able to have time, but I want to just really quick. I'm going to ask you a question and then we'll jump back into it. I'm just reading my notes of like,
yeah.
With all of the good, I mean, like the good things and the beautiful things and all these things, like I obviously wanted to talk about like how family dynamics change. And we alluded to it a little bit of like mm-hmm. holidays are different, like yeah. shit is different, mm-hmm. but like, how do you deal with the change and the shift in family dynamics when you lose somebody?
I'm still learning that.
Yeah.
Every day's different. Again, that is what I struggle with more. The yeah. death is certain.
Yeah.
He's gone. It is what it is. I can learn to not move on, but I can learn to move forward. When you have people out there that share your blood and like, it's so crazy to me that like, we can't even just sit down and just be like, I can listen to your mindset. Can you listen to mine? Like, we don't even necessarily need to leave being on the same page, but can we just be amicable? We share blood. Like, what are you talking about? It's hard. It's a learning process. Yeah. There's so like that in and of itself is like that literally could be an old episode of like everything that happens and the learning. I'm really still struggling through it every really? Single day. The things that have transpired from it, you in my moments and in my brain, I just feel like I'm not enough or yeah. what I was doing was wrong. And I'm really having to unlearn that too, because that's like such a conditioned feeling of like what you're doing is wrong. What blew up my family was, it was me. I was the problem.
Why?
Putting on social media. They did not like it.
They didn't like that you were grieving on social
publicly.
Media.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So it all had started. And again, this literally could be in an episode in itself. My dad was online with me. Everybody knew my dad. Like there were so many people that were like, I followed you for your dad. Love them. Yeah. Thanks for being here with me. But that was true. I couldn't not say, hey, my dad just died. And again, the funeral was 2.5 weeks later. 2 weeks later. So 2 full weeks of just ghosting online. You can't do that. So
that's
I came,
how it goes.
Yeah. So I came online and I was updating. I was like, hey, I was like, my dad died. We got the autopsy back. His body's still not back. Like I was sharing everything in real time. That was not okay with my stepmom. Down to funeral week comes, I was lied to about when the funeral even was, like, because she didn't want me to share it, quote unquote. And I'm like, nobody's going to, one, I'm not going to share his funeral location.
Why the?
Yeah. But two, like, nobody's going to pull up to his funeral. Like, what are you talking about? Anyways, it was just like this whole long thing. And that was honestly where it all started. But it was just the social media. And then the more and more that happened, I would put online because it wasn't even like a poor, pitiful Catherine, like everybody gang up on my stepmom with me. It was more like, damn, this really happens. This really, truly happens. And again, pain, sadness, families falling apart still happens to the privileged. It still happens to the pretty people. It still happens to the people that are happy and healthy and married. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't, it happens to anyone. And so the more that I started to share it, so many people were like, thank you for letting me not feel so alone. Full circle, a year later comes past, and just a couple of months ago, I got a DM from somebody and she had said, I just want to let you know that if there's one person that you truly helped, it was me.
Stop.
And I get that a lot, but the further I kept going, she goes, because I had talked to you about like I thought it was a seizure. Then I thought it was choking. It ended up being cardiac arrest. And something that I'd shared learning afterwards, why I thought he was seizing, his hands were clenching and his mouth was clenching. And this is something I share all the time. It's not scary to me. The clenching is because your body reacts and is trying to force all the blood as fast as possible back to your heart to rush to start your heart again.
Oh.
So that clench is like the shock. Basically your body's trying to shove flush all the blood back. Like, and, I shared that publicly and this girl had said, I just want you to know that I knew in the moment my mom went through that and I was able to immediately start CPR and my mom is here with us today.
My God.
Mm-hmm. So to me, it was like,
that is so like purposeful. Oh my God.
I remember like in that moment, I was shoving my finger down my dad's throat. Everyone came upstairs and was like trying to give him the Heimlich. Then on 911, they were telling us not to do CPR. Cause again, we're like, we don't know if he's choking. We don't know if he's seizing. They're like, don't do CPR. Like wait till we get there. And that was something that I had said online. I was like, damn, if I only would have known, if I would have only seen a 2-minute TikTok 2 days before or however soon before, I would have known immediately to just scratch all that and just immediately start pumping the man's heart. Yeah. And he could possibly be here. I put that online and I'm not going to say I saved a life, no, but it saved a life. And that is okay to me. And if that means that my whole family has to say, F you, Catherine, we hate you, I'm happy that there's a mom that gets to love her daughter another day longer. And that's okay with me.
I'm sorry you're battling that with your family. That's brutal. Absolutely brutal.
I think that's been the hardest part of it all, honestly.
Hardest part is that they can't see your perspective too. You know, like, and you're not going to be able to change their mind. Mm-hmm. That's just how it goes. Like, I mean, you can't battle them and that's not a fight worth fighting. Like you can leave the door open or maybe it's fully closed. I don't know, but like you can't change their mind.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
You said, perspective. Yeah. Perspective. At the end of the day, I don't necessarily know if I even want a seat at that table anymore.
It's okay to not want a seat at the table, especially when something so dark has happened and you can't even just see each other's perspective. Mm-hmm. And like, understanding social media, I don't think a lot of people do, but like understanding that that's how you pay your bills. It's mm-hmm. how you live your life. It's your complete and utter like 9-to-5, you know what I mean? Like in a whole life, like that's just how it goes. Mm-hmm. And you weren't sharing things that were harmful to them, mm-mm. you know? And
it is. Cause they're like, oh my God, they get offended that they see their bad actions. But exactly like what you said, if someone were to walk up to you and be like, hey, there's so many people who tune into you every single day. If you quit your job, we'll give you this amount of money. You can sustain your life. Who would not want to just live their life and get paid to do it? Are you freaking kidding me?
Like everybody
if someone were to walk in your house and say, this is, but here's the cost of it, but here's what you can do with it. Like some people might say no, but
I doubt it. But I'm sorry that you're battling that. That's really, really tough. And like, I mean, we went through, I mean, I'm like, I don't know how much I'm willing to share, but there was some stuff that we had to battle through a little bit just of like people not being truthful and like things disappearing. And
I was just going to start with that. That's what I'm saying. This could be a whole thing.
I mean, we might need it. Honestly, we might need to just save it and do it for another one because there's just some things that happen and you don't know how to act anymore.
Yeah.
Like you're like, are you my fucking family or are you like, what's your problem? Mm-hmm. Like, it just is very weird.
It's hard. I actually, if we are to do another one, I would even want someone to like write in on that of like, what are you going through? Cause that's happened too of like, so when a death occurs and again, so traumatic and quick and unexpected, everything goes to my stepmom. Well, now the falling out happens. We're not her children. Mm-hmm. So we get nothing from my dad's death. And mm-hmm. I'm not even talking about monetization purposes. I'm talking about like anything. I get nothing. All of it's going to go to my brothers one day, my two younger brothers. And that was hard too, where it was like, God, she came over and she sent one of my little brothers while I was out of town to take all the belongings that I had at my dad's. She knew I was out of town. So it was stuff like that too, of like, I own nothing.
Are you fucking joking me?
No. So there's and a lot of people online are like, Catherine, you seem like you're the problem. Everyone seems to have a problem with you. And I'm like, because I'm publicizing this, but I haven't shared that. Or like, there was a lawsuit. Like they tried to sue me for talking about it online. It's just craziness. But yeah. We have a whole episode.
I think we need to have an episode and I'm actually serious. And I think we should ask people to write in and just be like, what happened to your, like, what was it happening on your side? Like, let's talk about it. Oh my God. Let's do it. I have some things to say too. So
let's do it.
I'm saving them. We're going to do one more call, Sid, before we get out of here. And this one was on grief, and it was the one that I was talking about that kind of prompted this conversation that I was like, we need to talk about this. So this person wrote in grief in all caps. They said, "Hey, Sid, I'm not sure if you're planning on doing an episode on grief, but if you do, this is what I'm looking for advice on. I'm 26 years old and I lost my dad in 2021. I also lost at least 80% of the friendships I had at the time because they didn't know how to say anything to me. I was no longer the supportive friend in air quotes I once was. Since this experience, I have been apprehensive about putting myself out there when trying to make new friends. If my dad comes up in conversation around new people, I don't even recognize my own voice when I'm talking about him. I sound cold and detached, like I'm trying to make it sound like it's a no big deal and I'm still fun to be around. I'm completely and constantly compelled to make other people feel okay about it and shield them from how uncomfortable grief is. I feel like I aged 10 years in the span of 3, and I just don't know how to connect with people of my age anymore. Any advice is appreciated."
That's real. And we're young.
Yeah.
To lose a parent at this age is just weird. No, not many people have been through it. Something I had said originally when my dad first passed is, just because the people at your table can't relate doesn't mean that your community is not out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting right here. Like, I've been through that, you know? But I also will say, if those were your friends and then they're not your friends, and to say that you were the support friend just says a lot. Like, you were probably the person that was constantly showing up for them and they were probably using you. So those aren't your friends, but that also shouldn't hinder you from being you and finding your community and finding your new friends. Because one, why are you giving the old friends that much power? Like, I always say that
like pisses me off a little
bit. Yeah. I'm like, if you sucked as a person, you sucked as a person, not me, but I'm also not going to like stop being who I am because they sucked. Cause if you do, that's letting them win. Like, go continue to be yourself, go have fun, go find people. And sometimes, yeah, like, grief is uncomfortable. When people out in the world talk to me about my dad, I kind of just like, haha. Like, it is very lighthearted at first.
Yeah.
And then the closer you get with people and the more that they start to understand you and like conversations come up, you can be a little bit more vulnerable to your own discretion. But don't let past people – that's like saying you had an ex-boyfriend one time that did you dirty and you're never going to date again and you're going to be the old cat lady for the rest of your life. More power too if you want to do that. But that's in your hands to let him go and let bygones be bygones and go find your husband. Like, So don't let your old friends stop you from finding new friends. I think that's –
oh my God.
Crazy.
I can't believe they didn't know what to say. Like, that's such an –
I can.
I mean, but I get it if it's like – but if it's taken so much space, it's okay to be like, I don't know what to say to you.
She's the support friend. So that's what it is. They weren't friends. So it's not like you don't know what to say because you don't even really know this person, nor do you care. You just wanted the benefits from them.
Cause like, I get it off the bat. If like, I don't really know what to say. Yeah. I'm like trying to like find like common ground with you. Like, you know, like, I hope you're okay. That's what matters. Yeah. Like, whatever. But if it's like they went ghost and then like later, like, I just didn't know what to say. It's so – I'm like hearing like a 17-year-old boy with this hat barely on his head. Yeah. Like, I just didn't know what to say about a breakup. You know what I'm saying? So those were not your friends. I mean, they might've been in that time and period of life, but clearly there was like a shift or maybe an obvious feeling of like, this is not my match. Like, these are not – this is not my crew, because your crew would not make you feel like that. That is not your family. That is not your friends. Yeah. Like, get rid of those people. And honestly, good frickin' riddance. Buy a reason to get them out of your life. Here's what you can't do though, is you can't keep showing up how you showed up in those relationships in new relationships. If you're so worried about making everybody else comfortable, people are not going to know who you actually are. And you're not going to make different types of friends if you keep showing up as the person you were showing up in relationships you didn't enjoy. So my opinion on this is, you don't have to be upfront and say, I lost my dad. These are all the details, yada, yada, yada. You can say, I lost my dad. I'm really struggling with it, honestly, still. And I don't really feel comfortable talking about it. You don't need to talk about
it. It's kind of, again, if you put in the example of an ex, when you go on a first date, you don't sit down and be like, yeah, I had an ex-boyfriend and this is what he did. Like, no, you're the walking red flag.
Yeah.
Just know your time and your place. And then once that person, like, my husband and I still talk about like exes, you know, like, not we talk about it, but like, if something comes up, I'm like, oh yeah, like this happened. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
we do the same thing. It's very it's like very casual and very light, but
and
it's
obviously
like,
death is so different. But if you're on first date, just spilling all the tea. Yeah. Maybe that's –
they'd be like, okay, this one might be a crazy one, just gonna say.
I have an episode talking a lot about friendship, and something I was raised with is there's seasons and reasons for everything and everyone. Yep. So again, like you said, they might have been your friends at that point in time, but they're not any longer. So that season's over. Yes. You maybe had a reason, or I also say too of like you might have also been a reason in their life. You might have helped them through something without even realizing it. So
that was like hit the nail on the head on that one. Like literally,
we could be here for days.
I know. I was going to say, we could keep going. I'm like,
I actually think we should do a swap where we do the second topic and then we could talk about friends online.
Wait, we should do that. Cause let's talking about friends. That's like friends and relationships is like my main, I love talking about. Oh my God. Fun.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Wait. So, and honestly, like tough conversation to have, but we also made it very, like, I think a very approachable, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like this was very approachable. Mm-hmm. I think anybody, when you're whatever grief you're going through right now or have gone through, this is something you can come to and not feel like, oh my God, I'm like reliving all my grief. It's more like there are signs out there. There are things that we're still battling. This is inevitable, like different things like that. So I hope you heard something and you took it away, or you got like left with a laugh, even with a hard topic like this, because this was awesome. And there's going to be more. So sorry about it. But if you didn't like it too bad, so sad, you're going to have to fucking listen to it more.
Shut up.
Be quiet. Just kidding. Wait, shout yourself out on here really quick where everybody can find you and all the things.
On everything, Catherine Ebbs on Instagram, Catty Ebbs on TikTok, long story. Podcast is Human 2, or I Think I'm Human 2. And like you said, I think whenever you guys are listening to anything that we put out there, I hope everyone just always knows that it can be relatable, but it doesn't have to be heavy. Yeah. And it doesn't, like, I don't ever want you listening to our episode or my personal episodes, like, where you're like, now I'm sad and depressed. And like, no, it's more like we all go through shit. Yep. We're all human too. No shame in that plug, but we're all human too. So give yourself grace through everything you go through, and just know that no matter what you go through, you are literally never alone.
Yep.
I think TikTok's taught us all that we've never had an individual experience.
Nope. I literally see things like I'm not even going to bring it up, but there's like things I see on there that I'm like, yep, that and that I went through, and I thought I was literally solo dolo. Yeah. So I love that so much.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. You guys, by the way, if you're like, oh my God, I want to write in, I want to do something, I want to like be involved, 612-470-7569. You can call me, you can leave a voicemail. You can also message me in. You can text me if you're in the US, but if you're not, go find the link in my bio. That's where the advice little click that button is, and you can type it in there. Okay.
I love it.
We'll be back. We'll talk to you very, very soon. Until then, sayonara. Peace out. Talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Bye.